All right, welcome everybody to our latest Between the Races podcast on the MX Vice Network. Thank you everyone for listening and supporting the site. We really appreciate it. We'd first like to thank our sponsors in Fly Racing, Fox, Scott, AS3 Performance, Kawasaki UK, KTM UK, O'Neill, and of course, Even Strokes for all their incredible support, as without them, none of this would be possible. All right, for this episode, we're joined by Hirt from Hurling's fan page to talk all about MX and the great man, Geoffrey Hurling. So how's life, mate? And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good, good. What about you?
Yeah, life's good, mate. Nice and early here in Australia, and the MXGP's just kicked off. So, pretty exciting times. Busy with the motocross, isn't it? So, I just wanted to sort of obviously start with how did you get into creating the Hurlings fan page and just why you like the great man so much? He's one of the best ever to do it. So, pretty cool sort of path you've followed there, mate. And just the fandom's grown so much. And it's a good source of information on Hurlings, isn't it, mate? And you obviously get a lot of good reactions from the fans. Everyone wants to know what's going on with
Yeah.
Hurlings. Like, we put up a photo of him and it usually gets the most likes on anything MXGP. So just give
Yeah.
us a sort of rundown on your background in motocross and getting into Geoffrey Hurlings' career.
Well, I started this fan page in 2018, I believe. I don't know. I was in 2016, I started watching the guy, and I immediately was a fan, you know, because he was so fast and all those stuff. And he was Dutch, of course, and that's what I really like. So then in 2018, I thought, why not just start a fan page of him? So that's what I did, and now we're here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, mate. It's obviously some great content, and you're always sort of reaching new milestones in terms of popularity. And it's cool to do some collabs with you as well, mate. So give us a rundown on where people can follow you first, and how's the following count and the interactions been? It's pretty strong to start the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. 2021, I believe I was around 1,000 followers, like halfway through the year. And then 2022, I got 10,000 followers more, and then last year as well. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, mate, it's cool to see the progression, obviously, on an upward trajectory, and hopefully you can go even further with Hurlings having a good year this year, because obviously the last 2 years haven't gone to plan for him. But just give us a rundown on his pre-season, obviously, and the winter preparations. Obviously, you sort of had your ear to the ground on a lot of it and how he was going, and he definitely put in some pretty impressive efforts, and he's obviously been putting in the hard work. So just give us your take on how he entered the season. Obviously, the British fans know he was at Hawkestone and sort of showed some glimpses there for sure. So just give us your rundown on how you saw his off-season and pre-season.
The off season, it was pretty good. I thought he had some surgeries at the end of 2023, and then in January he started racing in Spain with John van den Berg. Yeah, I think it was pretty good. It was way better than last year because, you know, his style and everything, it was better, man.
Yeah, it's certainly good to see that he's on an upward trajectory because, yeah, go back to last year in Germany. I guess what were your sort of thoughts when he had that crash in Germany? It was just a disaster, wasn't it, mate? And obviously, that forced him to sort of endure a pretty rough end of the year and obviously didn't go to the nation. So, just your initial thoughts, mate, because he was sort of primed for a championship assault then, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was thought, oh, here we go again. Not him again. Why him again? It's so much bad luck that he had in his career, man. I mean, 2012 was the last time he rode a full season, huh? Without injuries.
Yeah, even the year 2021, he had that Oss incident. Were you at that race when that happened with Monticelli landing on him?
No, I wasn't at that race. No, unfortunately not.
Crazy situation for sure. He seems to find the bad luck, and then obviously the photo shoot injury after he won that
Yeah.
title just never gets a break, does he?
No, it's yeah, that was bad luck. I don't know. Maybe this there was a stone, I believe, in front of the jump when he took off. Because some people said, yeah, bike problem, this, that, but I watched the video and his bike was no problem with the bike, but he went just over the bars and was done.
Yeah, no, that was the worst when you sort of hear that news, something like that, not even racing, because, yeah, he's just had so much rotten luck. Do you put it down to mainly bad luck? Obviously, people obviously, suggest the injury record comes from the riding style and the intensity and the aggression, I guess he has. And some people say the technique, but, there's various opinions. What's your take on it?
I think it's just bad luck because, yeah, people say, yeah, this, he's glass, he's this, he's that, but nah, I think it's just bad luck. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, motocross is sort of inherently so dangerous, and especially when those guys are going that fast. It's no joke.
Yeah.
You've got to be that fast to beat guys like Tim Geiser and obviously Prado, Fevre, Jeremy Sewa, Koldenhoff, Renaud. They're all weapons. So you got to kind of find the limit. And I guess looking back at the race on the weekend in Argentina, taking eighth overall in his first MXGP showing since Germany, I guess that's pretty solid enough, especially with Argentina being a pretty sketchy track with the tree roots showing, the sort of wispy soil, the holes everywhere. Sort of think you're in control and then next minute you're not. So many dudes had crashes on the weekend. So I guess just play it safe, get through the weekend on that sketchy track was the aim, and he sort of fulfilled that in a lot of ways, didn't he?
He was riding safe. I saw it. Even second moto, Renault was faster than him, and he Renault passed him, and yeah, he waved him by. He said he did thumbs up, and yeah, let him go. He really played it safe because the track was very sketchy.
Yeah, obviously with the qualifying races too, adding the extra risk. He's probably not a big fan of that, as he said in the past. But like he said, there's still 57 starts left to go. So it's a long season. So you definitely can't win it on the first one, but you can lose it. So just get a good bank of points is the way to go, isn't it?
Keep it safe the first few rounds. I think that's his plan. Just keep building slowly to his old form, I think.
Yeah, and what do you actually personally think of the qualifying races?
The fans, it's pretty good, but for the riders, it's too risky. Like the format we had in 2021 and 2020, it was way better. With only time practice and then two races, it's I believe it's the same like in America. That's better, I think, for the riders. Less risky, and yeah,
Yeah,
that's better, I think.
one day format's kind of the way to go. And I guess moving to Spain for the next round, obviously good memories there for Herlings winning there last year, record-breaking situation there too. So I guess he'll be a lot happy to go there. Track will be more comfortable for him, and just probably being back in Europe and sort of that sort of familiar confines, have a couple of weeks to sort of recalibrate, refresh, and I guess go for gold again there. Do you reckon he's probably the favorite heading in, or the fans will be all about Prado and Fernandez too, won't they?
Yeah, I think the fans will be about Prado. Yeah, I think Jeffrey is still an underdog for the coming few races, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a building time for him. Do you have like a level of 100% where his fitness would probably be at the moment, around that sort of 80? He's sort of just still getting there, isn't he?
Fitness is good, I think. I think, yeah, he didn't take any risk yesterday, so I don't know. Maybe the race rhythm, he doesn't have any race rhythm, so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see for sure. Do you have him as your favorite? Obviously, you're the fan, but do you have him as the favorite, or do you think he's sort of Prado's favorite, Febra's the favorite? Obviously, Gais has been so good in the preseason races. Do you still think anytime a lot of the opinions are anytime Jeffrey's fit, he's got to be the favorite? But there's so many guys out there, isn't it, mate? It's going to be a long season, and I guess the overall theme is we just want everyone to remain healthy so we can get like a 2021 style battle again, don't we?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really awesome for the fans as well, because that battle, that was crazy, man. Not good for my heart. That was insane. That was insane. No, I think Prado or Geyser or Favre, I think they're the favorites because yeah, Jeffrey. Another bad season for him last year, like half the year he missed. So I think, I think Geyser or Prado or something is a favorite.
Yeah, and I guess it's going to be interesting because he's sort of going to just be building that momentum. He was doing a very good job of managing everything last year, managing the gap to Prado, sort of changing the approach a little bit. And he was racing all the preseason races, but he was sort of not that full gung-ho. Jeffrey wants to win by 50 seconds and lap most people. Like he was kind of just sort of
No.
doing enough, like I guess you see Jet Lawrence doing now. So do you reckon that'll pay dividends for Jeffrey this year? Or do you think we should go back to the old Jeffrey, just pin it and win it?
No, I think that time is not there anymore. And 2018 was really the last year that he did this kind of stuff, man. He won, yeah, a lot more. I believe he won by 40 seconds or something. Those kind of stuff. Those days are gone, I think. I think he's now going to use his brain and yeah, try to finish on the podium as much as possible and get some GP victories and hopefully be the champion.
Yeah, absolutely. He's obviously sort of matured and sort of grown over the years, like they all do. And I guess he wants to probably enjoy his retirement too, because he certainly made some good money in motocross and set himself up nicely. He's got so many houses. He's obviously got a lot of business interests. Just give us a little insight into sort of how he set himself up off the track as well, because it's pretty cool what he's doing.
The house is yeah. That's very, very smart because in another interview he told yeah it's like free money for him. He doesn't do anything for it. Some people are organizing it for him and yeah he doesn't do anything for it. He doesn't need to do yeah he doesn't need to really organize all the stuff. So that's
Yeah,
pretty good.
he just lets it roll in each month, I guess, is the way to go. And with his future, do you see him being like a motocross trainer, or kind of see him doing his own thing, getting out of it? It'd be good to see him go into commentary or something, but I guess he'll probably just do his own thing because that's the Herlings way, isn't it?
Maybe some commentary at some races, but nah, I think he won't run his own team, maybe do some trainings, not much, I think, because I don't know. That's not really his thing, I think.
Yeah, and how big a star is Jeffrey in the Netherlands? Obviously, there's so much competition with footballers and guys like Verstappen and this sort of thing, but he's this very special athlete, and I guess he's probably resonated quite a bit with the Dutch public because he's still a very popular figure, and definitely people know him still, don't they?
For real, that's sure. But yeah, like Verstappen and all those guys, nah, he's not really close, because it's Formula One. It's so much more famous, you know. And Verstappen as well, he's winning every race, so he's not really, no, I don't think.
Yeah. And what do you personally think makes him such a special athlete? Obviously, he's got the mindset, the physical qualities, the technical qualities, and just he's such a driven person, too. He's so cool to see. And it's also really good to see that he's pretty refreshingly honest and brutal in his interviews. He doesn't sort of hold any punches. So that's like a cool quality to have because obviously, a lot of top sportsmen don't often speak their mind like he does in many situations. So, what I guess draws people to him, and what do you think are the keys to his success from your point of view?
Oh yeah, his work ethic is crazy, man. He's so motivated every year, even after all those injuries. It still surprises me sometimes. But yeah, he just wants those titles and those Grand Prix victories. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
He definitely loves keeping track of the stats, doesn't he? You always hear him mentioning it, and he's always wanting to sort of break records and make new ground. So that's definitely key, isn't it? That's sort of driving him on, isn't it?
He said in an interview he was. The goal as a kid was to win the 10 World Championships. Well, that's not going to happen anymore, unfortunately. But and the Grand Prix victories and the moto wins. Well, he has that, so not too bad.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Obviously, the injuries have cost him from sort of catching some of the greats in the sport in terms of titles, but you can't take anything away from the records he's created, that's for sure, because he's, yeah, nothing short of impressive. And I guess with his training, sort of the tracks around the Netherlands, are you guys having the same issues, probably like Belgium is with so many tracks closing down? Obviously, people don't like the noise of motocross. Is that definitely an issue? I don't know, for hurling's training or just something that you've seen in general, because it's kind of an issue in the whole motocross world, isn't it?
It's in Holland it's way less, but we have so many tracks here. But yeah, in Belgium I believe they first had like, I don't know, 20, 25 tracks, but they only have two now, I believe. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty sad,
But
isn't
in
it? Do you think the electric bikes will help the sort of track situation with the less noise?
yeah, I think yes, but I don't know. I don't like to see those electric bikes, man. You know? I makes this about the noise. That brings much more with it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that one. And just with the Dutch motocross scene, obviously there's some really impressive talents coming through. Obviously, you see De Wolf and Elzinga, these kind of guys, and obviously Doonson coming through is an impressive talent. So, and obviously Van Erp as well. There's obviously some pretty good talent. Obviously, you got Vlaanderen and Koldenhof, Van der Moosdijk, these kind of guys for the Motocross of Nations set up and to go with hurling. So, it's obviously in a pretty good place, the Dutch motocross development for the youngsters that obviously idolize hurlings as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. We have much new talent coming up, like Van Erp, like you said, and Doonson and all those guys. Yeah, they're very, very talented, and I hope they can get a good future.
Is there one in particular that you think is above others? In obviously De Wolf's probably at the peak, but any of the younger lads, are they sort of on a path to stardom?
I think Doonson is really, really talented. His technique and his riding and his work ethic is really good as well, I heard. Yeah.
That's good to see, mate. Obviously, future generations, it sort of keeps the sport bolstered. And with hurlings, mate, obviously you've been to many races in person. I was going to ask you, what are some of your favorite races you've seen in person? Maybe MXGP, MX2, Motocross of Nations. Obviously, that was a special one there on home soil. Anything particular stand out to you, mate?
I've been to Assen 2018 as well, when he was world champion MXGP. That was insane. That was insane. That was fantastic. No words.
Yeah, any other races you touch on, like you've seen that just where he's just sort of hits that beast mode and it's just no one stopping him. It's pretty cool what he does.
Lierop last Lierop 1 week ago. Absolutely. 20 seconds in 4 laps. That was crazy, man.
Yeah,
Whoa.
that was on Yago, wasn't it?
It was. That was insane, man. I was screaming when he came over the finish line. That was insane.
But you personally, do you still ride the motocross bike and get out there when you can, mate?
I am. I am. Yes.
it's going to be an exciting season ahead. And do you sort of, I guess, by the halfway point, if he's sort of in contention, that'd be a success at this point and just getting through healthy. Would you rather see the riders getting through, or you'd rather see him just smash the competition? Because it's going to be a hard one to actually, for all the guys with these qualifying races, there's so many gate drops. It's sort of, you'd almost rather see him get through. And if, even if he didn't win it, it'd be just good for him personally to get through a season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would love to see him smash the competition, you know, to show who he really is, what he's capable of. That would be cool. But I think it's gonna be, yeah, a long season, like still 57 motos from now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there will be a lot of battles and stuff because Siwa, Prado, Favre, Renault, Geyser, and Fernandez, and all those guys, they can all win, you know, because it's pretty close together.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you plan to get to many races yourself this year when you can sort of fit your scheduling around work and whatnot? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I'm going to Arnhem, that's for sure. And if Geoffrey will be world champion, I hope it will be the last race in Italy then or something, because the one before is China. I'm not going there. That's too far. So if he will be world champion in Italy, I will try to go there. Yeah, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
awesome. That Arnhem track's pretty cool, isn't it? It's a little bit dangerous, obviously, with the trees and the fence and the crowd so close, but it creates a pretty cool atmosphere. It's a tight paddock. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, track is good. It's really rough sand track. Yeah, but it's nice. Yeah.
And definitely planning on getting to the Nations as well, mate, in the UK. That's on the cards as well for you.
Well, I hope so. That will be sick. I hope Team Australia will line up again with Jet Lawrence and all those guys. That will be sick.
Yeah, it's pretty
And
cool.
maybe America.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It's obviously a lot of talk about the Nations. Obviously, America's sending that B team, I guess everyone's calling it, which is kind of what it was compared to the year before. But yeah, with the SMX schedule getting out, they obviously the riders over there have a really heavy schedule. So hopefully we don't see guys drop off like the Lawrence brothers, for example, in Team USA. But it's kind of worrying, isn't it, mate? There's 20 world championship rounds, you know, essentially 60 gate drops. There's so much motocross they're fitting in. These guys need a break too, don't they?
Yeah, they really need a break because yeah, when they get injured at the end of the year, then their whole winter preparation is yeah, if you know,
Yeah.
that's no yeah. So that's what they don't want. You know, they want to go healthier next year. So
Yep. Nah, that sounds good, mate. What are sort of your plans for the coverage on the Hurlings site in the next couple of weeks? Maybe you got anything particular planned? Obviously, this is pretty cool. We'll share this out, and it's really nice to hear your thoughts about the great man and just sort of your insight into his career as well, because he's certainly one of the most popular riders out there. Even the American fans are pretty drawn to him, and they're not really that into MXGP, aren't they?
yeah, Ironman 2017, huh?
Yeah, that was something
That
else,
was a
wasn't
good
it?
one. Oh, that was crazy. That was crazy.
So yeah, the
Oh,
plan's
man.
moving forward, mate. What have you sort of got in the works? Just keep sort of following him and see how the season progresses, mate.
Yeah, that's my plan. And I hope to get some videos and pictures coming weeks, you know, to have some good content. And yeah, maybe collabing with you again.
Yeah, mate,
We'll see.
we can do some updates throughout the season. It's good to hear all about it. And yeah, mate, keep up the great work. And it was great to have a chat to you again. Any sort of final thoughts or where people can follow you before we let you go?
Yeah, follow me on Geoffrey Hurling's fan page on Instagram.
No worries, mate. Sounds good. Keep up the great work. And before we let you go, we'll thank the sponsors in Fly Racing, Fox, Scott, AS3 Performance, Kawasaki UK, KTM UK, O'Neill, and of course, Even Strokes for all that incredible support, as without them, none of this would be possible. All right, hit all the best, mate, and thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Have a good one.